Welcome to Celebration Community Church's Sunday Sermon Series. Celebration is located in San Jose, California. We would love to have you join us on Sunday morning. Find out more at www.celebratejesus.net or call our office at 408-225-1000. Now, enjoy the message.
Everything the Word says that I am. Every promise in the book of is mine. I stand on it. I claim it, and I will live by it. Now, hold your sword up. This is my sword. Say it. This is my sword. Say it again. This is my sword. It's a weapon against the enemy. Contained herein is my destiny. I'm not only a hearer, but a doer of the word. There's a word for me today. I'm ready to receive it. I'm alert. And I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Remain standing. Matthew, this is our scripture this morning. Matthew 28, 5 through 7, 18 through 20, John 14, 19, and John 10, 10. Looks like I'm going to read half the Bible this morning. But here's the story. The angel said to the woman, "Don't be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead as he said." Verse 18, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you to the very end of the age.'" And then John, it says, "I will live again," Jesus said, "and I will live, and you will live again also, because I come to give life, and that life to the fullness." Father, thank you again for this understanding that that Easter is not, for the Christian, a one-time event. It's an ongoing process. And we thank you for your grace and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated. I am the resurrection and the life. I came so that everyone would have life and have that life to the fullest. Father, we just thank you again for fresh revelation every major event. There's something that you want to impart, that you want to teach us, an understanding for the times that we live in today. So Lord, take this teaching and take the understanding by your Holy Spirit and illuminate it for us so that we can understand the depth of what Easter truly is to mean for us this year. I saw this, put it up. One slightly used grave, used only 3 days, available for permanent occupancy by someone else. The grave, the tomb is empty. And as I said, if that could not be substantiated, then all of Christianity would be a myth. But through the documentation, through the situations that we have seen unfold after, and his appearance to over 500 people afterwards, there was no way to deny. I haven't seen the movie about the centurion who, it just recently came out, that tried, what was the name of anybody? Risen. But I've heard that it's good. He went back, from what I understand, trying to find the body of Jesus Christ. They said that someone had broken into the tomb and stolen the body. Well, there was a stone in front with guards outside. And if a prisoner or if someone that the soldiers were watching over, if they were to lose whatever that particular person was or the situation, they would immediately be executed. We're looking at the empty tomb. John says this, Jesus said this in John. Turn to somebody and smile at him this morning. Just look at him and say, you're going to look better after you hear this. Jesus said through John, I am the resurrection and life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, like everyone else, will live again. They are given eternal life for believing in me and will never, everybody say never, perish. This day is a culmination of a very, very important time, which we refer to as Holy Week. Thursday was the Last Supper day. It was the time that Jesus instituted the communion when he broke this body and said, this is my body broken for you, and he gave the wine as his blood. It was Thursday of this week that he went to Gethsemane to pray. And I've told you the story and the situation that there was such an intensity and such pressure that actually the capillaries in his body, which are the small veins, they broke. And he began to blood coming out from every and it's a fact that for prisoners, when they get into intense situations like that, that the body just begins to explode and it becomes very sensitive. Well, he's taken by the guards. Friday, he comes before Pilate, and the scourging and the crucifixion and death on Friday. And if you've seen the movie The Passion, it's the one that's closest. I think every Christian should see that at least one time.
A year.
Well, some people, it is very, very graphic, and it's very, very right on, point on, in terms of we like to see these pictures, you know, where the sweet Jesus and whatever, and the guards were doing. The Romans were known to be vicious. And one of the things that we recognize that 500 years beforehand, it says that the Messiah, he will be hung on a tree as the way of death. And up to this point, stoning was the way of killing whatever the person who did something wrong. Stoning. The Romans were the ones that instigated, who came up, because they were so, well, if you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. So vicious in their attempts to do as much injury as possible. Well, the Roman Empire wasn't even in existence when the prophet came out and said he will be hung on a tree. So these things that come together, we begin to underline. So Friday was the time of the crucifixion, and between 12 and 3, he hung on the cross. And then Saturday, he descends to hell, takes from Satan the keys of sin and death, the two things that were given to Satan in the Garden of Eden by Adam. Sin, the recognition of sin that binds men up and keeps them under the control of the enemy, and then the understanding of death. Do you know that we were never supposed to die? You can eat of the tree of anything here except the tree of the beginning of knowledge of good and evil. When they bit into that, all of a sudden the revelation came to them that there were, and the breakdown of the relationship with God, and they were cast out of the Garden of Eden, where they could no longer eat from the other tree, which is the tree of life. So from that, not being able to eat from the tree of life, mankind began to physically deteriorate, and eventually we die. But what Jesus did, he goes down and takes the keys away from the enemy. The keys to sin and death. So no longer are we bound by the powers of the enemy. And no longer do we have to die in that understanding of spiritual death. So Jesus takes back those keys. And then on Sunday, which is today, the resurrection and the appearance to the disciples. So that's what's been happening this whole week. Easter insights, let me tell you. Easter is a story when God came down and invaded the challenges of mankind. He invaded them. Easter goes beyond a one-point event. This is not something that was intended to happen and for us to honor. It was a life change, a lifestyle change. From this point on, there came an understanding that Jesus says, because I live, you will live also. One of man's greatest fears is what's going to happen. One of the greatest fears of mankind is death. We are afraid of that because it's unknown. But for the Christian, Paul says, death, where is your sting? I've done two memorial services in the last month and a half. And we come to the point where we know where we're going as Christians. This here on earth, this time on earth, is just a blink, the blinking of an eye. But that we will be in heaven for eternity because what happened on the cross? How many know eternity is a long time? It's a long time. And if we understand that process, even though we might be separated for a moment with our loved ones who have accepted Christ, that's why it's so important for you to influence your sphere of influence, that we will be with them for eternity in heaven, where everything is good. You don't need to work out. You don't need to diet. You don't need to have to even plan anything. You don't have to worry about nothing or anything. Heaven is even better than Carmel. It's an incredible understanding if you can, and then there's joy that says, my kids, my family, whatever, we're going to be in heaven together for eternity. No more tears, no more pain, no more sicknesses. But it's more than just an understanding of going to heaven. Easter starts, and the events of Easter starts today, and every aspect of our lives. Easter represents the promise of ongoing victory in the challenges of our life when we acknowledge Jesus Christ as our Savior. Easter 2016 represents the preparation for the new anointing that we've been talking about. That was new anointing. The simple definition of the anointing, as I said, it's the manifest presence of the power of God through us. We've been talking about the anointing this whole year, which is essentially, can you see this? Is it, maybe you better just dim the lights a little bit. It's essentially you being used by God to do the same thing that Jesus did. That's what the anointing is. And he said, there is nothing that's impossible for those that believe. To do the exact same things that Jesus did. In fact, he said, even greater things will you do than I've done. How many people would like to pray for someone that's sick and them get well? How about that? How many people would be wonderful to be able to pray for an alcoholic or a drug addict and all of a sudden be set free? Wouldn't that be cool? I have, and it's happened just that way. They were healed. The only thing I have not seen personally in terms of ministry, I've never been there or seen anybody raised from the dead. That means they're dead, not swooning, but dead, like Jesus. And yet, resurrected back to life. But it happens all the time in Africa and all the other. I've spoken to many people who have prayed. Now, that sounds weird, doesn't it? And you can't explain that to somebody out in the outside world. But what happens within us, something begins to be transformed. And all of a sudden, there's faith that we've been talking about that raises up and say, wait a minute here. We don't have to take this. We don't have to allow this, our family to be destroyed or our kids to be unprotected as they go outside in the world. We don't have to see the robbery that's going on, the divorce situations, the sickness that's just absolutely, you know, right now TB is up higher than it's been in 50 years in this country. Some of the incredible diseases that are, now I'm not bringing fear to you. I'm telling you good news, folks. But there is a reality out there that, as I said, we're not in Kansas anymore. And there's an inundating of diseases that we have been clean from for many, many, many years, decades. And they're being brought into the country. How would you like to be able to pray for someone who has TB? Or someone, some child that was born under a mother who was taking drugs, and to be able to see that little baby or child set free? I'm telling you, folks, this is what's going to happen. And we've been talking about it for a long time now. That anointing that manifests. How many know that when Jesus walked up to someone and he saw that they were sick, he prayed for them and they got healed? That's a demonstration of God's love. Or someone that was bound by the powers of hell, and he said, come out in Jesus' name. He says, now I'm going to heaven, and I'm going to be praying for you, and you now are going to take over my ministry. Now, that might manifest itself, as we've talked about, many different ways. There might be the actual signs and wonders that happens as you pray or whatever. But there's also just the expressions of God's love. It's an understanding of caring for someone. People, I've told you before, people are they're hurting. And they're looking for love in all the wrong places. And I'll tell you something, the world and society will give them anything, in order to distract them from the true meaning of what love is all about. And we come along. And somehow or another, whatever God tells you to do, to say, listen, I want you to know, I've seen you're going through some difficult situations. Can I pray for you? I haven't found many people turn down prayer. Something happens. And then what happens with you, and they look at you and they see the things that God has done in your life and doing through your life, and all of a sudden you're not part of the real crowd. There's something unique about you. And all of a sudden they start coming to you and say, what do you think? Can you pray with me or pray for me? I've got a decision to make, or there's something happening, whatever it might be. And you say, certainly. You know what people tell me, ask me to do that? I said, but you have to promise me. You got to come back and tell me when you get the answer to your prayers. And I have that kind of confidence, because the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is within you. And the devil tries everything he possibly can. I'll talk about that in just a moment. Demonstration of God. Easter means resurrection, and resurrection means, bottom line, return to life. Return to life. Return to the original position. Everywhere we go, we see dead man walking. Dead man walking. There's no life within them, even though they walk. Jesus came. The resurrection means to bring people back to that rightful situation that happened in the Garden of Eden, where he created us to be, to live with for life, to come back to that original position. That original position. I came to restore life, Jesus said. The devil comes to rob life, what Scripture says, to rob you of life. He can't take eternal life from you, but he can make your life on earth hell. How many know what I'm talking about? How many people have experienced hell on earth? Happens sometimes, doesn't it? Well, let me tell you, it's all around us. And what happens with that anointing, we become aware of what's going on in the world today. And I've told you, every time you hear something on the news, every time you watch something online or whatever it might be, that disagrees with what God says, then you say, I take authority over that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You have that permission. And if we can get the church to come back alive again, imagine what would happen. When we have millions and millions and millions going before the Lord and say, Lord, stop this situation of what's going on. Some may say hallelujah or pass a ketchup or something. That's good news, folks. Acting Presbyterian on me again. Jesus said the thief comes to rob you of life, and he does it by bringing discouragement. He brings he comes in to try to bring doubt and fear and worry. He comes to cause you to lose heart, to cause you to settle for less, to give ourselves and others and God, to give up. Anybody felt any of those? To cause us to lose life. You know why? Because he knows who you are. He knows who you have within you as a Christian. And he knows that you are a threat to his kingdom. Because if we ever find out and you find out, we start stepping into that rightful place, what we're going to do is we're going to scare the hell out of things. Scare the hell out of things. See, can you say that in church? Yes, you can. And there's a lot of people that are absolutely walking in discouragement. And their marriages, difficult situations, their children are out of control. That's what we call death. And there's it's sad to say there's many Christians like that too. Jesus said, I came so that everyone would have life and have it to the fullest. Let me share something with you. First of all, this is not to impress you, but when in seminary I had to take Greek and Latin. I don't like taking Greek and Latin. I don't even like taking Spanish. But when I was overseas and I lived in the country, I could pick them up very, very easily. But they make you take Greek and Latin. And they made us take Greek and Hebrew. So the reason why is the Old Testament is written in Hebrew. The New Testament is written in Greek. And the Latin is it's called a dead language. It's not, it changes. There's no evolution. So it becomes a solid thing. That's what the medical terms, because it doesn't change. But we ended up, and I found out afterwards, white knuckling in it and kicking and screaming and having spent hours trying to go through this, that there was a reason why they had us take Greek and Hebrew. Because the meaning that some of the things are translated doesn't mean the same as what it's translated. I've told you before, the word love to us is love. What does love mean? And you've heard me say about relationships, what's love got to do with it? It's just a secondhand emotion. What does it mean that we are to love your neighbor as yourself? To love. And it's in Greek, there's four different translations for the same word that we translate for love. And I said how mixed up it can be, and this is what happens when you read Scripture. I love God. I love my wife. I love my kids. I also love my sushi. I love rainy days. I love Carmel. What in heaven's name does that, all that, how can you boil that down? Do I love sushi like I love my wife? So you understand there is a difference in the word. Let me tell you, Jesus says, I have come that you may have life. Well, what does that mean? Life, does that mean a pulse? Does that mean not dead? Here's what it means. Everybody say the word Zoe. That's what it means. Zoe. I have come that you may have Zoe. Isn't that cool? Now, what in heaven's name does Zoe mean? Let me tell you what it means in heaven's name. It literally means life as God intended it originally in the Garden of Eden. That's the life. We don't have life outside of God. We have existence. But with God, then that life, Zoe, means the original relationship that God had with Adam and Eve. He came to reestablish that relationship. Also, it's life he gave to Jesus in his relationship with the Father and the Spirit-filled life that he lived. That's what Zoe means. Everybody used to be, the disciples used to be absolutely overwhelmed. Jesus had this relationship with the Father, and he prayed to him, and it was just like he was really there. And they would watch him They would watch him involved in this prayer and this communication and communion with the Father. And they said, Lord, teach us to pray like you do. Because we want that relationship with the Father like you have. And he starts off by saying, this is the way to pray. Daddy, in heaven. They went, no, we want God. We want Almighty God. He said, you can call him Abba, which is the Hebrew word for daddy. And he went, how in heaven's name? They couldn't even speak his name because they thought it was taught that lightning would strike, or they'd fall dead. He says, pray this way. Daddy, Abba, in heaven, holy is your name. And I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but every one of those sentences means something. They mean something. Give us this day our daily bread is a confession. Lord, we look to you as the provider. But they said, what Jesus came and he says, I have come to reestablish that relationship with the Father that I have. He also, Jesus, which Jesus manifested in the world. He came for us to begin to again manifest the power and the love of God with the signs and the wonders like Jesus did. That's the anointing. He came for the anointed life, to give us the anointed life, to give us the victorious life, to give us a life-changing life, and also a world-changing life. So now you know, when you read the word life in Scripture, it's not just you got a pulse, right? Life and death. There's a lot more than life and death when we understand it in those terms. It means all of these things. I have come to give you these things. And I want you to know, when Jesus says he's going to give something, I mean, he's committed to give it. Only we, you know what I'm going to say, can reject it. Or I don't want all life, I just want half life. I don't want to get carried away with this. I want to do this, but I don't want to be able to have to do that. The Lord says, you can take whatever you want, but I've come to give you the whole thing. And the tomb is empty to show you that when I say I can do it, I can do it. Somebody say amen. Amen. That means I agree for those listening online. Jesus said, I have come back to bring you life, resurrection life, and to its fullest. Whatever has caused you challenges, whatever has caused your dreams to die, whatever has caused you to feel a lack of hope and discouragement, whatever has come to rob you, and every one of us experienced every one of those things where we've had dreams die or we become discouraged. He says, I've come to take away those things that are robbing you, because it's not over till I say it's over, the Lord says. And you're not allowed, when we're Christians, to make evaluations and draw, we can make evaluations, but draw conclusions on things unless God says this is the way it's going to be. You know why? And I always tell people in counseling, I always don't try to draw a conclusion of things, because you can't figure it out. Because when God shows up, everything changes. Well, we're going to lose our house, or we're going to do this, and all this. Pastor, I don't know. It's just going to end up our family. We're going to the businesses or whatever it might be. It's going down the tube, and we're going to lose it all. I said, who said that? I said, did God say that? They sort of speechless. I said, show me where God said it. And just that's what happens when we lean on our own understanding. We will always take it to the point of the almost the worst thing happened. That's human nature. We need that encouragement from the Lord that says, wait a minute here. Wait. I'm not going to allow myself to go down this spiraling staircase into the pit. Because when God shows up, everything changes. Everything changes. You don't know what's going to happen. You can try to prognosticate and, you know, speak yourself into death if you want. Well, it's never going to work out. I'm never going to make it. This business is never going to, I'm never going to get well. Pardon me? You know what you're doing? According to Scripture, you're cursing yourself. He says we have the ability to speak life and death. I'm not cursing myself. I'm just saying that, well, then you're cursing your business. You have the authority that God says that you can speak life or death. Why don't you? You've been speaking, I mean, we've been, those people, no one here, of course, right, have been speaking death. Because people today, it's just a negative society. Very rarely do you hear, yes, but this could happen. You always hear, but look what's happening. Downward spiral. That's when we talk about the things that are going on today. It's not to bring discouragement. I mean, if you don't have the Lord, it's going down the tubes. But when you have the Lord, that little but God, and the enemy wants to do everything he possibly can to keep you from hanging on and hanging in there, because you'll stop short. And God will not be able to enter in. Anything, whatever you has robbed you, your vision, your calling in your ministry, your anointing, the enemy comes, but I've come to bring it back to you, to tell you that when I say and you agree with me, all things are possible. That's why we spend so much time in premarital counseling, talking about how to establish your relationship so that what happens, and I've told you before, the basis of the enemy is to destroy the very foundational brick that God builds society on, and that's the family. And he tries to redefine it. He tries to destroy it. He tries all of that because he knows when the family is broken apart, then society begins to deteriorate. And we start raising kids without fathers, and all of a sudden there's two fathers, and God only knows what else. But God is the one. And as far as I'm concerned, people can go they can get married if they want to. I have not. If they choose to do whatever, that's what God says. If they choose to do whatever you can do whatever you want. Pastor, do you believe in same-sex marriage? Yes, I do. I sure do. What does that mean? There's same-sex marriage, isn't there? But my purpose and our purpose as Christians is to do it God's way. That makes us different. And God is not silent on the subject. But when we talk about acknowledging his principles that are guaranteed to work, guaranteed to work. Have you seen my grandkids? Have you seen my kids? Right? They're pretty good guys. You know why? They have a mother like they have. And I hung on. They're good kids. We raised them in Christian principles. And you know what's even better? Have you seen my grandkids? They're awesome. Because their fathers married Christian women who build their families, the unity of the family on God's principles. And it works, folks. It really does. So when you do it God's way, it works. And you don't have to flip coins. Heads we win, tails we lose. I like that, by the way. Somebody say, no, I like it. I'm just going to say, preach it, Pastor. That's good news. The Easter anointing. Jesus said, I have come back to bring you the Easter anointing. 2016, I'm bringing a new anointing for you. And I'll prove it to you. 2 Corinthians 1, 21-22 says, now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. How many know that when God says guaranteed, he means it. I have a guarantee from God Almighty that as I follow what his word says, and I mess up every once in a while, but I'm getting better at it, and so are you, a guarantee that it's going to come out with his blessings upon it that's far greater than I can ever imagine. I didn't know my kids were going to turn out like this. It's far greater. I didn't know my grandkids were going to, I didn't know my son's wives were going to turn out like this. But I prayed, and I spoke to them, and every one of them came to me and said, Dad, what do you think? I remember sitting in a, where was it? It was some restaurant over in Oak Ridge. Sean and Michelle had asked me to pray. Remember that? And they sat down and they wanted to buy us dinner. So I figured, oh, yeah, good, we're going to get, they're trying to butter me up here. And they're sitting there and waiting, like, what? And I just wanted to have some fun, you know. And I just sort of delayed it a little bit, you know. And they're going, what? And I said, you know, the Lord spoke to me. And they went, I could see him. I said, yeah, he spoke to me. And they, I could hear the ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. And I said, yes. The Lord says, this is the one for you, and this is the one for you. And it was like, ah. We'll even pick up the tip. But it was wonderful. We set the principles in order. And when you say, there's difficulties and there's challenges. But I'll tell you something. When we continue to do what God says, he changes around and he puts the but God in. And that's good news. What is the Easter anointing? Well, I'm going to share with you. How many people want the Easter anointing? Well, most of you. How many online? Maybe I ought to preach to you online there. But I am preaching to you online. Everybody say, welcome online, people. We did that another time. We got a text message. Thanks for the high five or whatever online for those listening. Let me share with you. What does Easter anointing mean for us today? The 2016 version of Easter. What it does is this. The Easter anointing confirms that the past failures are removed and we are in forgiveness. How many people messed up in the past? How many people think that there were things that you did that there's no way in the world that God would have forgiven you for it? Anybody here? A couple. And we're going to have an altar call. I know there's things that I, God, there's no way in the world you're going to forgive me for this. And I'm not going to tell you what it is. Because it's gone. But it's nothing that would really surprise you. And I don't want to know what you've done in the past either. Because I'd stay home this morning and you'd stay home if you knew what I had done in the past. Right? What has he done? None of your business. How often when I first had that revelation coming from a Catholic background, that when I'd go and say, mea culpa, through my fault, through my most grievous fault. God, I don't want to mess up. I don't want to mess up. And I again say, I'm sorry for the... And one time the Lord said to me, what are you talking about? And I said, you know what I'm talking about, God. He said, no, I don't. When I did whatever that might be, and I did, you know, remember that stuff? He said, no. And I said, you don't? He says, no, I forgot. I have chosen to forget. I don't hold that against you anymore. And I'm going, then what am I beating myself up for? If I'm trying to get God's attention and I feel that I'm not worried because all these things that he's got listed down for me, and he said, I threw away the pad. And I went, oh, that's cool. I don't understand it, but it's cool. So what do? Go out there and do everything I want to do because he's going to forgive me? Absolutely not. I don't want to do anything because he loves me so much to wipe my slate clean. Wow. And eventually say, what can we do for you, God? Removing of guilt, condemnation, and cleansing. And I've given you a bunch of scriptures there. Next thing, Easter confirms a new freedom. Released from... There's things that perhaps even this year that you are bound up in. Discouragement, despair, God only knows what. He knows that you're addicted to whatever or angry or whatever you propose to do. Whatever that is, he knows it. And he says, I've come that you can be free from that. You don't have to be bound anymore to it. The old self. How many know self gets in the way sometimes? How many know self gets in the way most of the time? How many know you have to put self back into its rightful place? How about over here? Anybody, you know that sometimes self gets in the way. We're supposed to be a living sacrifice. And the thing about living sacrifices is that they crawl off the altar. And I've given you scripture. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the captives. Next, new hope. There's things that because of delays, the situations, it seems like I've lost my hope. I'll tell you, you want to see a sad person? A sad person has lost hope. I don't think my marriage could be put back together. I don't think he, she, it, they are ever going to be what I don't think I'm going to be what I wanted to be. A person who has lost hope is a person that's walking around in a shell. And sometimes there's Christians that way too. God says, Jesus says, I've come. May the hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him. I hope, I have hope in my heart that my family, my church, you are going to turn out the way God wants you to, and I'm not allowing you to try to change my mind, whatever you do. Because, but God. And all I got to do is convince you of it. And I'm going to do it. And you're tracking, by the way. Because if you're not, I'm going to come after, and you know that. And I've called people up, and I've called, you know, some of you here, I want a meeting with you. I want to talk to you. Uh-oh, got to go talk to Pastor. I'm not giving up on you, and don't you give up on yourself or any situation within your life. New confidence. Boldness and assurance, that's what it means to live. If God be for us, who can be against us? I mean, these are the things you have to tell yourself and you have to tell the enemy. If God is with me, I'm doing everything I possibly can to be with him because of it. And if he's with me, who can come against it? Now get the hell out of here. I've used that 3 times. It's in the Bible, by the way. Hell is in the Bible. It's not a good place to be. I know what God has said, but those that know their God shall be strong and do exploit. That means really good stuff. Also, it confirms his provision. Every aspect of, I've come that you may have whatever is necessary here. I am Jehovah Rapha. I am Jehovah Jireh. That's the Hebrew name for I am the God that provides and I am the God that heals. And I'm not just talking about, there's many people that are emotionally broken that need healing. Many people get in discouragement and despair. And the only way they can make it through is being numbed out by something. And God says, I've come. Whatever that area of need is, I promised you, guarantee that I will supply it. Come to me, you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Also, his favor, and we talked about that. His favor, the anointing for 2016 of Easter is that we have been, his favor has been released upon us. And when you have the favor of the Lord on you, Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we might sing for joy and be glad all of our days. And for I know the plans for you. And it also says, may the favor of the Lord, that's the reason why God had to say this, may the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us, establish the work of our hands. Yes. Man, wouldn't it be cool if we could do this stuff? Wouldn't it be cool? How about why don't you try it for a day? See if you can put 2 or 3 days together. I don't want to talk about the details. Don't mess with the facts. I've already made up my mind. Because when God comes in, I'll tell you, this kind of life is happy, happy. Amen. Everybody happy, happy. His favor. I've got the favor of the Lord upon me. My kids, my family, my church has the favor of the Lord. Man, I'm a happy man. I've got God's Almighty's favor. Do I believe it? I just saw the tomb. It's empty. If he can raise Christ from the dead, what's your problem? You're not dead yet. Amen? Effective in ministry. That Jesus, the anointing which we were talking about, confirms that we will be effective in ministry. Jesus will be seen through us. Jesus will be heard. Jesus will be followed. And Jesus will be glorified. That's what life is all about. You have been given, 2 Colossians 2:10, you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. And he says you're going to be effective because, you know why? We've been talking about it all year. Because I need you. I need you. I need you to be my witnesses. And that doesn't mean going out to Africa. It doesn't mean a whole lot of things. Lord, I'm ready to be you. Just don't send me to Africa. I used to say that about Georgia. I'll go anywhere. I didn't like the South for a while. And so I said, Lord, I'll go anyway, but don't send me to Georgia. And he didn't. But every time I went there afterwards and I got my head screwed on straight, we had wonderful meetings. Now I say, Lord, send me wherever you want me to send me. As I stayed in California, I said, what a good God. I love you, God. Effective in ministry. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news. Good news. And then the last thing, and most importantly, Easter anointing confirms John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him would not perish, but have eternal life. That's resurrection life. The anointing of the Lord to not only confirm that we are Christians for those who accepted, but that we have one of the greatest tools in the world. We have the Holy Spirit within us, and we can minister eternal life to other people. I used to say, you've heard me say it, we look up at doctors. We say, man, we look up to them. They can fix you. They give you medicine and they tell you what to do when you're doing something wrong, and they cut off what's not good and they sew it up together. Whatever they do. We look to doctors. And what happens, they give us a couple more years or whatever it might be. I had cancer. I don't know. It's wonderful. I got to show for it. They like to all kind of, whatever they did, I was sleeping. I didn't care. They say it's going to hurt me, take it out. And I don't have cancer anymore. Thank you, doctor. I've got more years to live on life here on earth. Wonderful. But what about understanding that he's extended my life here on earth 10, 15 years? I don't know. 20. Let's just be positive. But what happens for you who minister to someone and you have opened the door for eternity for them. You can literally be an agent in God's hand that opens up eternity for them. How many know that's longer than 20 years? And we look to doctors who give us a little bit more. You can impact someone's eternity. Wow. You, me. Isn't that awesome? That's awesome, by the way. And that's why the Lord says, I need you. I'm not in that business anymore, the Lord says. My business is anointing you, praying for you, so that you can be and do the work of the ministry. However that is to be done. And God will tell you. Resurrection life. It confirms an invitation. Romans 10:13 says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus said, answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And he says, I stand at the door knocking. Now, I know most of you here, I know all of you here, for the most part. I know most of you here. I know most of you here. That means more than just know, because it's two different words in the Greek. But I'm also talking to those people online that somehow or another just came across the website that said, all right, it's Easter. All right, my wife forced me, or whatever that might be out there in ozone, Silicon Land. What I want to do, I want to pray for you. And you're going to be part of the participators. And we're going to walk through and forever in all those that need to know about eternity. Jesus says, if you call upon me, then I will give you eternal life. And I pray. And that's the reason why we do this on Easter, because some people only go to church twice a year. And some people don't go to church. They listen to it online or... And I guarantee you, the prayer is going to be prayed millions of times around this country. And I want you to close your eyes right now to reinforce, bow your head, and I want you to repeat after me. This is a reinforcement of what you have done. And if you have never done this, prayed this prayer, have I got good news for you. I'm going to lead you. You follow along. Jesus, say it out loud. I come to you today recognizing, I need you to talk louder. I want them to hear it. Recognizing that I am a sinner. I have missed the mark in my life. But I also come to know that you died for my sins. And through your death, you can wipe all of my sins away. Jesus, I would like you to do that for me. I confess that you are Almighty God, that you came on earth to talk about God's love, that you were crucified and you were placed in the tomb, and on the third day you rose again to give me and to those who believe in you eternal life. I confess today that it's my desire to allow you to be my Savior. Jesus, I call you my Savior. And I say that today, that I will do everything I can with your help to be a godly, fill in the blank, man, woman. I accept your lordship into my life. And from this day on, I call myself a Christian, and I claim everything that you said in your word. I claim life eternal. And Jesus, I make myself available to you. And it's my desire to serve you with all my heart and everything that I do. Thank you, Jesus. I now receive your Holy Spirit that fills me afresh. And from this day forward, I call you my Lord and my Savior. Now I'm going to pray. Father, I pray for everyone that prayed this prayer, those listening online, for all those ministers across this nation that are leading people. I pray that your Holy Spirit would come and to show each one that as they have prayed, you will honor that prayer. And I claim them for the kingdom. I claim them for the kingdom of God. And I come against everything that would try to deny or to try to confuse or to try to neutralize. Father, we thank you for those that are being added. Establish your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And everybody in agreement said amen. 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 Let's give the people a clap for what they've done. Amen. Do you know what Scripture says is happening right now as we're closing? You know what's happening? There's a party up in heaven. It really is. The angels have been listening and watching. And when people... Do you know we're teaching angels? You know that? We teach angels. Because they're not made in God's image. What we do, how we love God, and what we do acknowledges them. And right now they're having a party. There's more people coming into the kingdom. Yippee, yippee. I love it when I make angels happy. How many people understand what we said this morning? Now, after we close with a song, after a song we close, I'm going to pray for you. Because I want us to take the revelation of what Easter is. It's not a bunny rabbit. It's not chocolate. It's not jelly beans. It's not lilies. It's about Jesus and eternal life. Amen? Let's stand to give the Lord a praise offering. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a praise offering this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior.
Amen. Amen. Take your neighbor's hand. That word, just as an extra, that word save, it's the word sozo in the Greek. And it's not just salvation. Sozo means healing. It means deliverance. It means every malady that's happened to mankind. He is mighty to save in every area. Father, I pray for my brother and my sister on my right and left, that that understanding of your anointing and the revelation of all that Easter means, Lord, would filter into their spirit man and become the agent through which you can share the good news through, however you would manifest them. Thank you, Jesus, that you're praying for us and you purposed that you've gone before us to prepare a way this week. All the details, you've already overseen it, and all we got to do is come and say, Lord, what am I supposed to do in this situation? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you've conquered the grave. The word grave means anything that would rob you personally. Let your neighbor's hand, that's good news, by the way. Lift your neighbor's hands. Go lift your hands before the Lord. I almost said lift your neighbor's hands before the Lord. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters, those that are listening online. I pray for your Holy Spirit to invade their lives, that the anointing of the Lord be released upon them, and that they might walk in the victory of all that you have for them. Now receive the benediction. May the favor of the Lord your God rest upon you. Establish the work of your hands. Yes. Everybody say yes. Yes. Establish the work of your hands. And we claim that together in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Let's give the Lord a praise offering. Amen. Amen. Turn around and give somebody a hug. God bless you. Happy Easter.
Thank you for listening to our Sunday sermon message. Pastor Babish is available for personal and family counseling. Please click the Counseling tab for more information. Again, we would like to invite you to attend our Sunday service or call our office if you have any questions. May the Lord richly bless you.